Welcome back to Measure Up Podcast. Today, we have another great episode of the Measure Up Podcast, where we are going to be interviewing Sean LaRue from JD Barnes.
Yeah, Rebecca. He's from the Ottawa office of JD Barnes, and he's actually a personal friend of mine. We worked together at MMM Group, then became WSP, which is now GeoVera, and then we both actually strangely left at the exact same time. He went for JD Barnes and I went somewhere else. And now we find ourselves crossing paths the odd time still. So it's, as we, you and I both know, it's a very small world surveying.
Yeah, no, super small world. We actually got to meet him in person at the yearly ALS conference, which was kind of neat. I got to put a face to the name before our interview, which I really enjoyed. But yeah, completely small world of surveying. And it's always nice to hear somebody else's story. And I think that's what you get out of this episode with Sean, is that you get to hear his background of why he became an ALS, his journey. Because I think while it's a small industry, everyone has a different journey of how they became an ALS and how they became in within the industry.
Yeah, and we talk about some old stories working out in northern Manitoba, which if anybody's been out there, it absolutely sucks. So we both definitely agreed on that. And you know, we both still own houses out west and other things. So it's kind of like, you know, we're very connected in a lot of ways, and it was really a pleasure to interview him. So yeah, and I know that you had a good time interviewing him as well.
Yeah, I did for sure. So I guess without further ado, we're going to flip you guys over to that interview, and we hope that you enjoy it, and we'll catch you afterwards.
Hi, and welcome back to the Measured Up Podcast. Luke and I are really excited to bring you yet again another episode of our podcast. And today we are joined by Sean LaRue. Hi, Sean. Thanks for joining us today.
No problem, guys.
Sean, it's great. It's great to hear from you again. I mean, for the people listening, Sean and I, we work together at a couple other firms. Well, I should say one firm together, but it was a couple firms ago for me and one firm ago for him. So Sean is a surveyor and a licensed Ontario land surveyor. He works for JD Barnes in Ottawa. So yeah, welcome and nice to see you again.
Thanks. Good to see you as well. It's been a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, other than you playing hockey at the AGM and seeing your pads and me being jealous.
Yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. So I'll start you off with an easy question here. Okay. How did your career start? What made you want to be a surveyor?
I had no idea what I was doing. Probably like a lot of people.
Nothing changes, eh?
No, not at all. coming out of high school, I knew that I wanted to go into some type of engineering, and I was very outdoorsy growing up. So when I went to university to kind of go and feel out all the different departments and programs there, I kind of did a tour of three or four of them, and geomatics engineering at University of New Brunswick kind of was the most appealing, but I still didn't really have any knowledge of what that even was at the time. Pretty good background in construction while I was in like high school and stuff. So really that one kind of just like drew me in a little bit. So it was kind of like a feeler, just go right into the GGE program. And from there, it just took off and never looked back, but really didn't have any other background or knowledge of surveying prior to that.
Yeah. Well, I think the UNB program for their GGE, I actually just came back from there this past spring with their student career conference. And I think the biggest thing with that school is that GGE department is very involved and helps their students kind of find their own path. And I'm sure that's probably what happened to you, is you had that idea of like, you know, I like to be outdoors, I like construction, I'm into engineering, like what path do I need to take to kind of get a career that I like to do?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Like there's, I don't know, I feel like even after the first year, it was a little foggy on where it was going to lead and what the opportunities really were going to be. But as I got into the industry and had a bit of exposure to it, it really just grew. And then you could see the potential that was there. Yeah, now looking back, I definitely don't have any regrets on my choice.
Yeah, that's awesome. I feel like that's actually a lot of people are in the same boat, mm-hmm. where you almost fall into surveying. Like you don't, it's not anything that somebody grows up idolizing. Like nobody's looked at, even though they should, because like.
Maybe Gord did. Gord and Ivan. Gord was like, I want to be just like my dad.
Okay.
Maybe yeah, if, well, if it runs in the family, yes. But like, I didn't have any prior knowledge or anybody in the family involved that I was aware of until much later. I think I had like a distant uncle or something that was possibly a party chief or something.
Right. And you know what the funny thing is? People should know what surveyors are, and they don't. Like, I had no idea what they were growing up. But like, if you look at Mount Rushmore, three of the four heads on Mount Rushmore were surveyors at one point.
Yeah.
So like, why aren't they idolized more? I don't know, but they should be, in my opinion. But I'm biased.
You just want a mountain with their face on it. That's the thing.
I have a statue at home. It's on scene.
So you went to UMB, and then I know that prior to the interview, you and Luke were kind of talking about how you both have experience out west. But somehow you ended back in Ontario, making an Ontario land surveyor. So how did that happen? Like, why Ontario?
My family's from Ontario.
Okay.
So I was born in Ottawa. So my family lives all through the Ottawa Valley. So now that I'm older, have a wife and kids, this was kind of the path to be able to be close to family as we grow our family too. So yeah, that was kind of what drew me back. But I've started out in the Maritimes. I grew up down there and went to school there, and then did some work up in Newfoundland and Labrador, and then I was out west for a while, and then I made my way back to Ontario. So I did my articles to be an Alberta land surveyor and got my commission out there, kind of coincident with moving back to Ontario. So I'm actually a registered Alberta land surveyor as well. Worked up
come in handy.
Yeah, I worked in Fort McMurray for a number of years up there. So
awesome.
As Luke mentioned, like, we still have houses out west. We were well rooted there for a while, and then both of our journeys kind of brought us back this direction.
It's funny because they say Fort Mac is the biggest city in the Maritimes.
Yeah,
so a lot of people from the Maritimes go to Fort Mac to work, which really is true. But yeah, Sean's absolutely right. I mean, that's my story too. I needed to come back because my family was here. Fun fact for the listeners though, same town as one of our other interviews that we've done, David. They grew up in the same town, Sean and David. They were both goalies, which judge them as you will, but they were both goalies in hockey. So they know each other fairly well. And actually Sean's giving me some dirt on David, and David's giving me some dirt on Sean, so I have something on both of them.
Yeah, it's funny because me and David actually met up at Education Day recently in Kingston. So,
oh yes, I was actually Alicia Robinson. She's an Ontario land surveyor as well. I think you met her as well, and she's my best friend. So somehow,
we had lunch.
I think you all had lunch. Yeah, and somehow I ended up having to accompanying her to Kingston. So I saw both Alicia and David go into that conference to meet you, but I never got the green light to actually walk through the doors myself. It was elusive.
It's elusive, yeah. So I guess being that you were an Alberta land surveyor first, did you have to do the articling process in Ontario?
No. So when I came to Ontario, I did the jurisdictional exam, so through the agreement of internal trade. So I went through that process, which is like a challenge exam, like a statutes and profession kind of all merged into one, to do that. And as long as you're in good standing in one province, you can, through the Mobility Trade Act, you can kind of move between provinces fairly easily.
That's great news for young people, I would say.
Yeah,
because you want to uproot your family and go out west and make twice the money out west, then you can do that easily enough, the same way you did it coming back here and taking half the money, right?
Yeah. and depending on where you are, like, geographically, it might make sense to hold dual or even like triple commissions, right? Like, if you're an Alberta land surveyor, you might be a Saskatchewan land surveyor and a BC land surveyor, right, to work across the prairies.
And I mean, we all know, work sitting here right now, all three of us, you know, surveying is an industry where you can work anywhere in the world and have a job.
That's true.
Yeah.
Well, have you ever, with that being said, have you ever considered like getting your Quebec license as well? Just because of the fact that you're in Ottawa, at J.D. Burns, you must do a lot of work over province lines.
A little bit. I haven't even thought about Quebec, to be honest. It's totally different than the other provinces as well.
It's not part of CBEPS, right?
And where our firm is, we have an office that's in Montreal, and we just let them do their thing and take care of anything in Quebec, and we deal just exclusively in Ontario over here.
Yeah, that's cool.
So,
okay. Well, here's something. This is something fun we like to do at every podcast. We're going to ask you, what's your bear story? Like, do you have what's the coolest thing that happened to you in the field or in the office that, like, you could tell? And what's the one when you're drinking and you want to tell a story? What's the story you tell?
Oh, we've had a lot of run-ins with bears when I was working in Labrador. A couple out west, but mostly when I was up in Labrador. One job we were surveying and the highway across Labrador, and we were camped out in basically an RV in a gravel pit or near some cabins. And there was one where we'd always go by the dump, the local dump for the town. And there's one three-legged bear that would just chill out. And he sat on an old couch, just chilling every day we'd go by. And he was always there every day. Like that was his spot.
That's funny. I like that.
That's funny.
Not often you see a three-legged bear.
No, so he definitely
never mind sitting on a couch enjoying a brew.
Yeah. And then, yeah, we've had lots of run-ins. Like, they go and sniff out our GPS base, like, kick around at the tripod and stuff. I've got lots of photos of them. Like, just little black bears. Nothing too scary. Mm-hmm. No grizzlies or anything like that. But
imagine, though, like, they kick your tripod, and you're just, like, your assistant goes over the walkie-talkie and be like, we gotta go fix our setup again. Another damn bear.
Actually, Rebecca, now that you say that, when I worked out west, and maybe Sean has similar stories, but bears would often knock down our base, and we'd have to take a helicopter to go put it back up, because we helicoptered to our base, and then we'd helicopter to other spots. So when our base went down, we'd have to go back with a helicopter. It was a real pain in the butt. And it would often
seems like it.
Would be bears, we think. We never got proof, but, I mean, we got prints and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, never any real crazy run-ins, but they're always around. They're just out there watching you, what you're doing, and nothing too crazy. I've been pretty lucky that way, I guess.
Yeah. So one fun story for Sean and I that I remember is when you and I both worked at WSP for a while together. But before we worked at WSP together, we actually ran into each other via email a few times, and we didn't know each other at the time, but I worked for a company called Alts Geomatics, and you worked for a company called MMM Geomatics, and we both worked on a power line running through Manitoba, and we had one portion of the contract and you had another. And we would often email each other for stuff and deal with Manitoba Hydro, and we didn't know each other. But once we finally worked together, we were like, hey, I was on this job. And you were like, hey, I was on that job too. I'm like, oh, you're the Sean.
Yeah.
And
you're just that guy I was emailing.
Yeah. It's just funny how small the survey world is what I'm trying to get at here.
Well, I'm surprised. So, like, one of the things I'm known for, and so actually, Alicia will always joke. So when I'm emailing someone and they say something, I'm a Googler. I want to know what you look like. So, like, if we're emailing back and forth a lot and we're having a solid rapport, I'm going to see what you look like on LinkedIn. I'm going to see, creep your company's website, because I want to physically picture your face. And it's actually come in handy, because a couple of times at the at the AGM that we were just at, I was like, oh, I know who you are because I recognize the face. That's you guys cool. Never Googled each other.
For sure.
No. Yeah.
I kind of ran into that. I've been working with this one particular client for about 3 years. Never met in person, and the voice, phone calls, you're very casual with everything. And then we finally go to a job site to look at this one building together. And when we finally meet, we shake hands, and it's like, you got to close your eyes. It's like, is this the same person? Like, is this who I was picturing? You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're always much different than you picture them.
Yeah, for sure.
That's why you got to Google them.
Yeah.
But sometimes you try to Google them and they don't exist.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
It's pretty rare these days, but yeah.
But that's why it was also nice to have the AGM in person again, where you could actually go and see people face to face.
That's right.
Even if you're there with your colleagues, you can be like, who is that? Like, I know that person. And then they can help confirm it or whatever, right? And so I think that's one thing. Because we're in a small profession, it's important to network. And with COVID and everything, that was very difficult to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a disadvantage for a lot of the younger surveyors that just came through now too, is they don't really have that networking in place. Like they might have come through together, but then really you're just working at your own firm and you're all in your own silo.
Right.
But hopefully we'll have more events and opportunities where the younger people in the profession can actually network a little bit more. Because you get a better working relationship once you've met somebody and worked with them and not just dealing on the phone or by email. So
absolutely. Yeah. And that's why, to me, it's very important that the association does the geodetic picnics. Well, used to. I don't know if there's been one in a while. We do our quarterly meetings for our regional society or associations. And so, I mean, those things are very important to meet the people that you email with, that clients actually say, oh, I got a quote from so-and-so. And you actually meet them and you say, you can see who you're dealing with and you know, they could tell them their perspective because it's all about learning, right? I mean, we're all in one boat.
Well, it's the same. Remember how we were at the AGM, Luke, and we were at the social. And so I actually worked for JD Barnes before I came to IBW. So I worked out of the Markham office. And there I had worked with Al Bors, and we are both party chiefs. And you left the company, you don't keep in touch. Neither of us added each other onto LinkedIn. And then when we were at the AGM, I ran into him. I was like, oh my God, I haven't seen you in like 4 years. Like, what are you doing now? He's like, oh, I'm an OLS. I'm like, oh, good on you. You know, like it's one of those things where, you know, your paths cross. Cause like you said, it's such a small profession of, you know, surveyors and project managers and party chiefs, like everyone kind of knows each other after a while. So yeah, that was a kind of neat thing with AGM, was kind of running into him again, because it had been almost 5 years since I'd seen him.
That's where the AGM is like, for me, it's like everybody that was my survey assistant is now an OLS. So I'm like, oh man, like what did I do wrong here? Why am I not an OLS? And yet all my survey assistants are good for them. But
yeah,
it's the way it is. So speaking on, Tell us what's it like working for JDB, JD Barnes being JDB. Is it like any different than any other place you've worked? Is it, you know, are you enjoying
it? Yeah, no, it's not drastically different than anywhere else. I feel like every survey firm's got to kind of operate in the same kind of method. It's everybody's got their own processes and there's some little nuances here and there, but overall it's not much different no matter where you go, I think. And that's kind of the good thing, is you can get comfortable in that. Then, overall, it's been good. There's good people, lots of opportunity. I've been able to be handed a portfolio of clients that I have the liberty of managing with little oversight. So it's professionally, it's been good to be able to grow in this kind of environment. It's been good that way. And lots of different types of projects. You're not just fixed on like one type of project type or anything. It's kind of spread across the board, which is really nice.
That's cool. Yeah, I feel like at IBW, I feel the same way. We, you know, we do every kind of project under the sun. As Gord once told me, our owner, he said, if you could pay me to paint a barn, I'll paint a barn. So, I mean, I feel like it's the way it is. So, yeah. So I guess that'll lead into another question. What do you think it's like being a young professional in the survey world? So that question is kind of vague, but like, if you're thinking of joining the survey world, you know, you're going to start off, in my opinion, as survey assistant, junior CAD drafter. You know, what's it like?
Just trying to get in and start out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of opportunity. People are hiring. It's not going to be hard to find a job. That's for sure. Just look and you'll find something. Everybody's hurting for young and developing technical staff, professionals. It doesn't matter where you are. Everybody's in the same boat. Like, it's hard to find good qualified staff. But we've resorted, I think, across the profession of just training in-house as much as possible. Like, bring somebody in off the street with zero experience, give them an opportunity. And I mean, the sky's the limit, really. Like, if you can come in and become a sponge to the information and absorb what's going on around you, I think it's limitless on where you can go if you're driven enough.
That so reminds me of the saying that I once told Rebecca, and she thought it was ridiculous, but I said, I want somebody who's a sponge on wheels.
Sponge on wheels, like it doesn't even make any sense.
Yes, it does. They absorb the information, but they want to move. They want to move on. They've got a direction.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the way I've, so it's funny you said sponge there because that's the way I feel too.
Yeah. We've got a number of staff that have basically started out in the field and now they've got office positions as calculators and drafters and stuff and project coordinators. And we've got others that started out as survey assistants and are now articling, right? Like independently of going to like an accredited university, they've got their academic requirements in place from doing online courses and other courses around, right? And putting in their time as they're working. And
right.
Like those people are really driven, in my opinion, right? Mm-hmm. They're absorbing whatever they can and they're pushing to get to the next step, which is great. Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess as a younger surveyor, a lot of what we have kind of had conversations with other surveyors is that our industry itself is aging. So we have a lot of older surveyors. So as a younger professional coming into the industry, obviously that comes with some challenges because you're having to learn the new rules and regulations as they're getting, you know, implemented from the AOLS. Yeah. But then also, you know, you're kind of trying to create relationships and mentorships with these older land surveyors that are already, you know, practiced. Is there anyone specifically that maybe has been a huge mentor to you in how you're able to grow as an OLS? Or is there anyone that stands out?
Oh, there's definitely people kind of all over the place. I think I've learned over my many years of work at different levels, on who you can lean on for what types of advice, really, because everyone has their strengths, for sure.
Right.
There was a mentor that I had out in Alberta that was a very senior land surveyor out there, and basically whatever he says is gospel. Like, he just absorbed whatever he can out of him, and, like, helping prepare for my exams at West, that was instrumental in passing. And I get as much knowledge from that guy. It was incredible. And then as I've moved firms and offices, you kind of see that it's important to have a diverse group of people around you. Like, you don't want to be stuck with all young people, which could be good in a way too, but you don't have the higher level of experience to help support you.
For sure.
It's good to have a balance of people around you, for sure. So I've had, for example, in this office here, we're many of us are younger, but we've got a senior land surveyor here that if you have a boundary related question, you go to him and he can help solve it right away. You bounce questions off each other and get different opinions from different perspectives. And that's where the greatest value is. So trying to put yourself in a position where you've got the support at different levels all around you whenever possible and ask as many questions as you can.
And I can attest to exactly what you're saying, because when I worked for WSP, and so did you at the same time, you were one of my mentors. I pretty much, yeah, you were my PM on almost every job I did, I believe.
Yeah.
We worked together a lot. So it was like, I had to lean on you for a lot of things. So, I mean, absolutely. We bounced things off each other. We tested things out. That's the way we rolled. And I believe we both learned that way.
Yeah. That's the way it goes. And sometimes it's just trial by fire, but
it's thrown to the wolves. You used to tell me
thrown to the wolves. Yeah. Which, funny wolf story. When okay. I was in Labrador working out there, I was working with this older party chief. He's probably in his late 50s. And we were close to this lake where there was a couple cottages or cabins out there. So there's some people around, but it was known, like, there was definitely wolves in the area too that had been kind of keeping an eye on our activity every day that we're out there. And this large dog came up over the bank of the ditch from one of the cottages that was down by the water and started barking. And that party chief just looked at me, yelled, "Wolf," pushed me in the ditch, and then ran for the truck.
Sacrifice the assistant.
Yeah. I was like, well, now I see where your loyalties lie. And it was funny because it was a large dog. It just came running up and greeted us, right? But
yeah. Right, automatically assumed it was a wolf because
he was terrified. Yeah,
that's hilarious. Yeah, I'd do the same thing if I was him. No offense.
Yeah,
he knew that too nowadays.
I think he'd get his advantage.
That's right.
Yeah.
No, and kind of to end things off, I remember one time what's fun about the profession. One time, actually, it was one of your jobs. We were doing a job, and you actually had to send me with a gentleman we had from Newfoundland that came for a visit. You came to me and said, you want to go to Montreal for a night? And because we had a job in Montreal we needed to do. I said, yeah, okay, fine, whatever. So we went to Montreal, and you were the PM on it, and we had to meet some other people anyway. Long story short is you couldn't find a hotel for us in Montreal. It was very busy, so you booked us like the nicest hotel you possibly could, right next to the Bell Center. Like, we're talking five-star hotel, 300-something bucks a night back in those days. And that was the best hotel I've ever stayed in. And so those are the advantages you can get being in the survey industry. Is you get to go to these towns you never thought you'd go to, stay in Gucci hotels.
Well, don't promise Gucci hotels. I think that was a one-off. Sketchy places.
I've stayed in some places that are definitely like negative five stars.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had one in Saskatchewan, no joke. No door handle on to get into my room. But they had a flap where I moved the flap and you could reach your hand through a hole that was punched in and open it from the inside.
Yikes.
No joke. It was in Big River, Saskatchewan. There's the shout out of the day. Mm. Big River, Saskatchewan.
Well, Saskatchewan, we've been over this. I feel like what's in Saskatchewan? Nothing. It's just the square on the map or the rectangle on the map.
Paris of the Prairies, Saskatoon. That's what it's called.
Yeah, with the sketchy hotels. Downey. Okay, I'll ask Gord Downey.
Yeah, okay, well, you can't anymore, but anyway.
You're still trying to sell your house. You're just trying to make it sound good.
Yeah, he's trying to sell his house.
Anybody wanting to buy in Martinsville, Saskatchewan, 5 minutes north of Saskatoon? Absolutely. It's gorgeous.
Paris of the Prairies.
You got it. Exactly. Now let's. You can put a plug in for Fort Mac if you want, Sean, and sell your house.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Well,
anyway, yeah.
Yeah, I think this was really great. It was really great talking with you and just kind of getting an idea, you know, of what it's like to be a surveyor from another perspective, someone working at a different company. So thanks so much for joining us, and we appreciate your time today.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for having me.
And Luke, your favorite saying, go ahead.
Okay, Sean, you've officially been measured up.
Thank you.
All right, that was Sean LaRue's interview. So obviously, he's a fun guy. Like, you can tell that he's like, what's his name from the Raptors? I'm just a fun guy.
Oh my God. No, definitely a really great interview. And it was great that Sean kind of took some time out of his very busy schedule. I know they're super busy down in that Ottawa office and JD Burns. There's lots of work going on. So I'm glad he was able to find some time to put us in. And I think it was a really good interview.
Yeah. And, you know, unfortunately for him, it looks like JD Barnes still does use the paper everything, which sucks because we are paperless here at IBW. So
that's true.
That's one thing we can say, we're a step ahead of them. That's for sure. But no matter where you go as a young person in this profession, you know, there's lots of opportunity and there's lots of great people. And I think that's what we're trying to get at here, right? It doesn't matter where you work, where you're from, who you are. You can do it.
Yeah. And you meet lots of neat friends. Like, now we have, you know, we know Sean very well and he works at JD Barnes and we run into him every so often. And, you know, I love how small the industry is and, you know, how close everyone is and that everyone kind of knows what everyone's doing and we recommend each other. It's kind of nice to have that type of fellowship within an industry.
Yeah. Oh, I agree. So, I guess, Sean, it's official. We've already said it once, but he's been measured up.
He has been.
Please, guys, pay attention because we're going to have another measured up coming shortly. So anyways, have a great month and we'll see you again next month.
Yes, stay tuned for that episode.